अनृता विभूतेष्वरा जूजं भ्रम विदो युक्तास् तपसा दग्धकिल्बिषः कुतः संकल्पवैषाम्यम् अनृतं विभूतेष्विव. प्लीज चंद. Jujam, of all you, Brahmabiddha, completely in awareness of the Absolute Truth, Yuktaha, self-control and well-balanced, Tapasa, by dean of austerities and penances, Dakdha kilbishaha, all kinds of material contaminations, having been burned out. Kutaha, then how? Sankalpa vaishamyam, discrepancy in the matter of determination. Anritam, false promise, false statement. Bibudeshu, in the society of demigods. Eva, or. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jaya. You are all self-control, well-balancing mind and aware of the Absolute Truth. And because of austerities and penances, you are completely cleansed of all material contamination. Your words, like those of the demigods, are never baffled. Then how is it possible that your determination has failed? Purport. We have learned from many Vedic literatures that a benediction or curse given by the demigods never proves false. By performing austerities and penances, by controlling the senses and mind, and by achieving full knowledge of the Absolute Truth, one is fully cleansed of material contamination. Then, one's words and blessings, like those of the demigods, are never a failure. Yujam Brahma Vido Yuktas Tapasa Dakta Kilbishaha Kuta Shankalpa Vaishamyam Anritam Bibudeshvihiva. You are all self-control, well-balanced in mind, and aware of the absolute truth. And because of austerities and penances, you are completely cleansed of all material contaminations. Your words, like those of the demigods, are never baffled. Then how is it possible that your determination has failed? Om Agyana Timirandasya Jananjana Shalakaja Chakshur Ummilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasaya Udare Shrimate Ramapaswami Iti Namine. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasaya Buddhale Shimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Iti Namine. Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvesesha Shunyabadi Pashati Adeshatarine Bancha Kalpa Tarubhyasya Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha. So Swayambhuva Manu is questioned the pure brahmanas who were performing the sacrifice that how is it possible that the purpose by which they actually were brought to perform the sacrifice, which was to help the to help Swayambhuva Manu have a son, fail, when actually it is understood that the words of the demigods never fail, that they always come true. Prabhupada points out that, and we hear this constantly through the scriptures, that when such an exalted personality as demigods, they give a benediction on the usher a curse, this always comes true. There's no such a thing of a like a false claim or a how you say, like a bluff. Sometimes we hear that with the so-called great personalities in this world, that they make a declaration and then they have this process in the media that is called fact check, that they check the facts and they find that they're always lying. Recently, there was news during the inauguration of the present president, Trump. He made these declarations, something that his inauguration was the greatest of all time. But then sadly for him, some person took some pictures from some elevated thing, and he find out that there was not a great, you know, that in comparison to other presidencies, inauguration, it was very, very poor attended. But he made this declaration, it was the biggest of all time, or something like that. So, not like our mundane great personalities declaration that, in general, to achieve their means of control, they lie. They use all kinds of tricks. They make things appear a certain way that serve their purposes. So they have no shame, and they have no, they don't feel any disturbance in actually manipulating facts for their benefit. So therefore, Shanika Pandit say, never trust a politician. But in the higher realms of the heavenly planets, these are all very powerful, pious personalities. They understood to be great devotees. They're serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Vishnu, in administrating this universe. So they're actually very responsible, great personalities. And they're doing a very important service for the Lord. So they're chosen because of their piety and their devotion to the Personality of Godhead. So the words are always truth. It's understood like that. Every time, you know, they give a benediction, it comes true. Every time they give a course, it comes true. So that is the demigods. What to speak of those who are completely cleansed of material contamination? And the principle is explained, we hear in the Bhagavad Gita, that how is that the words of the devotees are always truth and infallible? It's because Krishna himself protects and fulfills the words of the devotees. It is explained that through the devotees, the Lord speaks. So sometimes it is said that the Brahmanas are the mouth of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Through the mouth, you accept foodstuffs and you speak. So that is the function of the Brahmanas. And the demigods also, as representatives of the Lord, their words are as good as the Lord's when it comes to actually deliver or perform their service, the official service. It's like a government post. You don't expect the government post is that whatever declaration they made have to be in full accordance with the governance, with the government. If they don't do that, then they're breaking the law and they'll be prosecuted for that. So we see many cases of governor officials that they deviate from representing the state and they prosecute it, you know, and put in jail. So it is expected that the representative of the government, the representative of Lord Vishnu, when in their function they declare something, is as good as the Lord's. It's their function. The demigods get in trouble when they do on their personal thing. So we hear that. But when they're doing their job, that's as good as the declaration of the Lord. And the Lord is known as Achyuta, which means infallible. So the words of the demigods performing their function is infallible too. So for the devotees, there is a very special position there. And then Krishna declares that in the Bhagavad Gita in the 9th chapter. The 9th chapter is the heart of the Bhagavad Gita. And in the 9th chapter, there's something very beautiful because Krishna reveals his heart to the whole world. He reveals how he feels and how he what is that special dealing that is between the devotee and himself. And we hear of the relationship that is there with Krishna and his devotee, which is reciprocal. In general, we put emphasis on devotion to Krishna and how is the natural position of all of us, the living entities, to be naturally devoted to Krishna. And to regain that position is the greatest benediction that a conditioned soul can have. So when a conditioned soul is given the opportunity to connect again in loving service to the Lord, that is greatly, you know, explained and glorified throughout the scriptures. So from the perspective of us, you know, offering our devotion to the Lord and reawaken the loving sentiments that are there, that is very well understood. But the other part is Krishna's reciprocation, which is quite, you know, is quite amazing, because Krishna becomes devoted to the devotee. So Krishna becomes devoted to serving the devotees. And that's across the board. It doesn't mean that, well, Krishna will do it with those special devotees like Srimati Radharani. You know, we see how Krishna, so many beautiful descriptions of Krishna serving Srimati Radharani, taking great pleasure, or serving Nanda Maharaj, like the famous carrying Nanda Maharaj's shoes in his over his head. Or, you know, Partha Sarathi driving Arjuna's chariot. Krishna becomes a devotee of his devotee, but he also does with the, you know, little devotees like most of us. He is constantly reciprocating by personally doing things for us, arranging things, thinking, okay, this knucklehead is, you know, having some trouble, let me help him, let me take this, let me put this, let me, you know, he's like, he's very involved, extremely involved, like to the point of, you know, it's embarrassing. You know, it's like, imagine, I mean, it's almost like, you know, you're like, I don't know, you need to be bathed, you need to be dressed, you need to be, you know, it's like, you know, you're like a little, you know, toy or something. Like, he have to do everything, he have to make this arrangement, and this guy doesn't get it yet, let me put this one here, you know, like that. So he's very, very involved in serving us and helping us. And he declares that in the Bhagavad Gita, he says, you know, samoham sarvabhuteshu name dvesho stinapriya ye bhajanti tuman bhaktya mayi mayi te teshu chapyaham. I envy no one, nor I am partial to anyone. That's his position. So he declares that I'm equal to all. But, the word tu, ye bhajanti tuman bhaktya tu, means but what? But whoever renders service unto me in devotion is my friend, is in me, and I'm also a friend to him. So this ye vayanti tuman bhaktya. So we become very dear just by any service that we render to the Lord, and he automatically becomes devoted to the devotee. So, because of being dear to Krishna, then when one comes to the position of fully taking shelter of Krishna and being transparently serving Krishna, then the words of those devotees are as good as Krishna's. To the point that Krishna actually you know, the famous quote of Kunteya Pratijaniti, that you declare Krishna actually, when he wants to make something that it will be unfallible at all times, he have the devotee declare Name Bhakta Pranashati, that my devotee will never fail, will never perish. So Krishna makes that promise, but he makes the promise through the devotee. Because we know, Prabhupada explains, that Krishna is God. So sometimes, because Krishna is God, he can break his promise. He can do anything. And we know the famous pastime that Srila Prabhupada illustrates this point, that with Bhishma Dev in the battlefield of Kurukshetra, that that Bhishma Dev forced Krishna to actually break his promise. Krishna promised that he will not fight in the world. You know, he's between both sides, our family. So he decided, okay, I will not fight. You know, this is a fight between, you know, the family. They're fighting, but I don't have to fight. But I will, you know, drive your chariot. But he promised that he will not fight. But when Bhishma was fighting so ferociously, that was basically going to destroy Arjuna, then Krishna took the weapon of a broken will and charged it against Bhishma to actually kill him. And then Bhishma, there's a famous picture of Bhishma Dev, highlight of his whole life, of his whole devotional life, when he saw Krishna charging, you know, like a lion. And there's a beautiful painting. I'm sure you right now have it in your mind, Krishna like this with a big wheel and Bhishma in ecstasy, like, bring it on, you know, like this. Bhishma Dev described this moment during the when he was just about to pass, just remembering, you know, he was noticing Krishna's sweat and the dust that he was, you know, that was attached to his body as he's carrying this wheel, and his hair was flowing in the air. Bhishma was, this is, was the most, you know, greatest darshan he had of Krishna when he was charging to kill him. Because the relationship he had with Krishna was so chivalrous, how you pronounce that? Chivalrous, you know, like that. Bhishma was a warrior, so he served Krishna, he brought up that in Krishna, and it was a great pleasure. It is explained that Krishna will receive the arrows of Bhishma, who was piercing his body and causing him to bleed, as offerings of flowers. So Bhishma was offering his arrows with ecstasy, and Krishna was receiving with ecstasy, you know, the arrows. So it was amazing. So Bhishma forced Krishna to actually break his promise. And how was that possible? Because Bhishma Dev promised, he promised Duryodhan, I will make Krishna, either I will kill Arjuna, or Krishna have to break his promise. Bhishma Dev declares this. Either Krishna break his promise, or I kill Arjuna. So Krishna broke his promise. So Krishna protected the words, the declaration of Bhishma Dev. So Krishna promised that the words of his devotees, the action of his devotees will never fail, will never be vanquished. It's always truth at all times. And this is something very wonderful. That is why when we come to Krishna consciousness, we actually come through the devotees. The devotees are perfectly infallible. When they're in their function, completely connected with Krishna, any word that comes from their mouth is truth. And it will be truth. And it will come into, you know, it will happen. And we can have faith on that based on the scriptures. The scriptures tell us that. There are so many examples of it. Through the scriptures, there is examples that we have of modern acharyas, or throughout all the acharyas, Srila Prabhupada, and now Srila Prabhupada's representative. And we see how the words come to you know, they're protected, they're true. And as devotees, we have to have faith in the words of Krishna's representative. It's a principle that is fully necessary for any type of advancements that we will make in Krishna consciousness. Therefore, we pray every morning, Guru Mukha Bhakya, where is it? Guru Mukha Bhakya Padma Bhakya Chichete Korija Akya. Guru Mukha Bhakya Chichete Korija Akya. Chichete means my consciousness. My only wish is to have my consciousness purified by the words emanating from his lotus mouth. So this Mukha Vakya. Vakya means words. So the words of the spiritual master are the means actually to purify our consciousness. Once Srila Prabhupada was explaining this song, and he became very emotional just saying that for himself he have no qualification, explaining this particular stanza. For himself he have no qualification. The only thing that he can declare is that he took the words of a spiritual master into his heart and execute them. It became his life and soul. And that is that principle comes from our disciplic succession. The famous commentary of Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur on 241, Vyavyasa Yajnika Buddhi verse, that what is this Vyavyasa Yajnika Buddhi is complete focus on the instructions of your spiritual master. That there is nothing, that the world may be going this way, that way, the things may be falling apart or building or things, so many things. I don't know anything but the words of my spiritual master. The instruction of my spiritual master is just my life and soul, and it's the only thing I know. So that is a mood, that is what Vyavyasa Yajnika Buddhi means for Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. And it's explained when Prabhupada read this verse, then he makes his he fixed his determination to come to the US. It is explained that he was in Vrindavan, in his room in the Radha Damodar temple. He read and he fixed his mind. He's going to the U.S. He's coming to New York. And the rest is history. So, the words of the spiritual masters becomes the means of purification. Each word for the disciple is infallible. It's as good as super soul speaking to you, face to face. Which, the deeper we understand that principle, that this great personality is as good as having super darshan of super soul, and super soul directly give you instructions. Just like we just read, as Lord Matsya is giving direct instructions to Maharaj Satyavrata, similarly, the spiritual master directly speaking to the disciple is like super soul speaking directly. And the most clear, the clearer we have that realization, then our consciences become naturally purified by those words. So, from within the heart, then, you know, it's all like this. The song goes, Chakshudana dhilo je jam. Chakshudani. It's funny that you sing it every day. Chakshudana dhilo je jame prabhu se. Divya gyan hride prokashito. That you open my dark eyes and open my heart with transcendental knowledge. You enlighten my heart with transcendental knowledge. From him, prema emanates, the spirit of master. So, this is the position, and this is something that we have to understand because it's a principle. Krishna speaks to his devotees. His words are infallible. So therefore, having that faith, then we can actually advance in Krishna consciousness. If that faith is shaky, then, you know, won't the principle won't act, meaning that you're closing your heart and don't allow the flow of mercy to enter. Doubtful devotee, which is, that's an oxymoron. You know, a devotee should not be doubtful. A devotee means faithful. So it means that, you know, but we have to have our heart open for those words to enter. We have to have faith. So we may be, you know, in any position of condition with whatever baggage we can bring to, you know, the Lord, to the feet of the devotees. But if we have faith, if we understand this principle, at least this principle, that Krishna is speaking to these great personalities and the words are infallible, then we can open our hearts and with full confidence and faith take, and those words will completely cleanse our hearts. Those instructions and following those instructions will become the means of actually becoming Krishna consciousness. Even small instructions, everything that comes from the spiritual master and for those who are representing Krishna has the effect to completely change our consciousness if we have faith. So, any comment or questions? Yes, Jai Baladev.
Hare Krishna Prabhupada, thank you for your nice class. I was just actually meditating on this point today, actually, and yesterday. One point of appreciation is that you were mentioning that how is it that the word of devotees always remain true because of Krishna, of course. And this reminds me of a pastime in the first volume of Bhaktisiddhanta Vaibhav. It's in the chapter is entitled Transcendental Morality. And in that chapter, one thing I appreciate is kind of how devotees lie in a good way. Basically, this pastime in that chapter mentions that there was one festival, and one devotee had to leave to work. So Bhaktisiddhanta told him, you know, just tell your boss a lie so you could stay for the festival. And so one lawyer was present, you know, watching this incident take place, and he became so furious at Bhaktisiddhanta, like, you're supposed to be preaching, you know, revolutionary truth, absolute truth all the time. So he left, you know, he left the scene and probably wasn't going to come back. So one of Bhaktisiddhanta's disciples went to this man's house, and he essentially explained that if a criminal comes to your house and you hide your wife, and the criminal asks you, is there anyone else in the house? You know, of course you're going to be duplicitous. And so in that way, this devotee became convinced and came back to the movement. So I kind of appreciate that point where devotees lie sometimes, but it's not for any personal interest reason. But my question is related to the fact that you said we have to have faith in the spiritual master, etc. But we could see that wherever someone's feeling the most love, that's where you have faith in. And that's why we see in the material world that you know, Gaia tell a girl that he loves her, or vice versa. And sometimes we're looking for that love. But my question is that in this material world, nobody's perfect. So we can see that people in marriages are discontent with their spouse, in friendships, even sometimes among devotee relationships. So how important is it for us to not be so dependent on, you know, nobody's the absolute truth in this world. Sometimes we're we make mistakes, and a lot of times we try to see our spouse or our friend as Krishna. He should be perfect, and therefore, if they're not perfect, then I, you know, become discontent, and I want to, you know. So how important is it for us to not view our relationships, any of it, even sometimes among devotees, as they should be perfect, because that's what the general tendency is, that you should be perfect, and if you're not, then, you know, there's discontent, there's disharmony, there's, you know, et cetera, so.
Yeah, there's a famous instructions of Prabhupada that we should have some, if we want to purchase a diamond, we should understand what a diamond is. So otherwise we'll be cheated. We'll be given a piece of glass. So it is very important, and it, you know, it's an emphasis that now is conjugacy leadership is pushing very strongly throughout, you know, our ISKCON society, that we have to be thoroughly educated in Prabhupada's teachings to be able to understand the philosophy and to understand, to have a better understanding of the to be able to discern, to have the capacity to understand what's happening. And so with proper education, then we can understand better how to relate in the Sangha of devotees, how to relate with those who are our superiors, those who are peers, and those who are, you know, our juniors. So there's a whole science of how to properly relate and to recognize also our position and the position of the spiritual master, those who are guiding us. So when we not have that the strength of seeing through the eye of the shastras, of the teachings, with that type of education, we see through our lenses. So we pass, you may make judgments. And that puts in a lot of problems in relationships. Even in a regular, mundane way, the main cause of conflicts in relationships is because we see through our lenses. We fail to understand that, you know, people have differences. So I'm seeing red, but you're seeing orange. What makes mine a better truth than yours? You're experiencing oranges as I experience red. So I make a judgment. You are wrong, and you're wrong, and then I make my point, and then the other person, no. So, you know, when you pass a judgment according to your own experiences and things like that. So we bring that into the devotional arena, in the Sangha of devotees. And sometimes we have these conceptions or misconceptions of perfection or things like that. And we fail to see things. Prabhupada says, you know, that what is he in that, when he was commented about that his only qualification was over, even, and he said, not because of pride, he's saying this, you know, that if he achieved something, it was because he took the words of his spiritual master to heart, in comparison to some, most of his god brothers. And then Prabhupada said that if you think, you don't add, you don't subtract, you don't pass judgment, you don't think, you know, you don't think that you're more intelligent than your spiritual master or your spiritual guide. Oh, I understand this. My spiritual master doesn't have a full understanding of this. And I do. You know, I often say that I have this very, when we did the Sunday school, so many of these kids, you know, some of them became very, very nice devotees. And one then specifically, I'm thinking, beautiful devotee right now, very charismatic, one of the youth leaders, you know, in America now, disciple Srila Radhanand Maharaj, and very nice devotee. But in Facebook, when the GBC passed a resolution of we don't supposed to be doing Radha, 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 you know, Radhe, 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 Shri Radhe, Radhe, Jai Shri Radhe, you know, you don't chant Radhe's name. Prabhupada didn't do it. So, you know, you chant Srimati Radharani's name with Krishna's name, and usually, you know, it's very, Prabhupada was very, he won't go into that. Even in Vrindavan, the Vrijavasis will say, Radhe, Radhe! Srila Paswami, Srila Prabhupada will say, Hare Krishna. So it came to this resolution. But devotees are very attached to go Radhe, 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 Govinda, like that, you know, Radhe, 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 Radhe. So we've been doing it for years. You become attached. There's a feeling of, you know, the Vrindavan, the Vrijavasis, and Radhe, you know, she's the queen of Vrindavan, and you know, it comes from the devotees who were in Vrindavan, and everybody gets into Srimati Radharani. Why should we be gov? It's GVC, you know. I won't, you know, we won't follow, you know, we're making a declaration, this boy, and among him, you know, there was a whole bunch of, you know, we won't follow that. And then, you know, challenge saying, Rate, 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 you know, writing, Rate, 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 Rate. I wrote to him, you know, so, I wrote, I posted, you know, because I have a chastising. We have that relationship. I say, so Your spiritual master is a GVC, right? Srila Ranad Maharaj is a GVC. So now, Srila Ranad Maharaj, he may agree, he may not agree, I don't know. But because he's a GVC, he is putting his seal on that. We don't reading about Srila Ranad Maharaj saying, we won't follow this. So now means that you understand something better than your spiritual master. So you have one up on Srila Ranad Maharaj, right? Maybe you should teach him that he should chant Radhe Radhe. So he became very ashamed. He was. So sometimes we have those judgments. We look into our own thing, and then we fail to actually honor, you know, the instructions and the position and the words of these great souls, Krishna's representative. As long as they're performing their function, because the other question is, what about if a spiritual master falls down, which happens, means that all the words that they say were all untruth, right? One can ask that question, you know. Or and the answer is that is being given to us through, you know, the parampara, is that as long as they were functioning in that position, the words were true. When they fall from that position, then now they can be rejected. So similarly with the demigods, we hear narrations of the demigods falling down of their position, you know, Indra becoming a pig and like that. So but that's when they by choice deviate from their post. So that time, you know, they're fallen. But when they're in their post, representing the Lord according to their post, those words are truth. So that's what I understand of this. So for us, we can see, well, why can I trust, you know, any Indra, as a matter of fact? Or why can I trust spiritual masters, you know, they fall down? You know, I should be, that's anyone, you know, actually becoming close to that mercy. Krishna's system, that's how it works. Krishna will communicate through these great personalities to you, to all of us. So it's important that we have the proper picture, understanding that I cannot trust my sense of judgment because, you know, I'm a conditioned soul. So therefore, I trust Krishna's process, which is through the devotees. So we're open to that. Any other question, Krishna Archana?
Sometimes one gets exposed to persons who may not be connected to the representative of Krishna and the words of the representative of Krishna, but they may be, you know, coming regularly to take darshan of the deities and I've heard this on several occasions. Somebody will express that at some point they uttered some curse or said, you know, wished some particular person misfortune in their life, and person that they did not wish well to does in fact experience some misfortune, and then those persons are extremely guilt-ridden that they their utterance may have proved true, and it is due to their utterance that the other person is suffering. And what would you say would be a nice way to explain to the person that the person whose words truly become manifest are the words of the person that's closest to Krishna, meaning the spiritual master, and it's unlikely that their words were so powerful that they did indeed cause misfortune. But the persons are really writhing in guilt. I've been exposed to it several times. So what would you say is a nice way to explain to the person?
Yeah, it's sometimes you, when people are delusional, they, you know, it's difficult to break them out of that delusion when they're very convinced about. In general, you know, prasadam can help. But, yeah, it's completely delusional. I mean, it happens, you know, like if I see when something is already set up and it's very clear where it's going to go, and I may say, oh, it's going to go there. Yeah, that's obvious. So it's not that your words are truth. It's something that is very obviously. So if I say, you know, Acharanishtha is going to eat breakfast. There's going to be some fruits and some yogurt and some granola. You know, my words are truth. It's like, yeah, you're fool. It's obviously that's going to happen, you know, like that. You mean it's... breakfast will be served at 9, you know, it's already something that is obviously going to happen. So sometimes people are just too delusional, and what can you do about them, you know? Just give them prasad. Yeah, I'm not sure if I... one more question. We have 3 more minutes if you have. Irina, you have a question? All right. Yes, bro.
I have a question concerning the instructions of the spiritual master and one's ability to follow them. I have sort of I don't know where the conception came from, and I think it's a little harsh on one end. But I have my if the spiritual master gives an instruction and one is not able to follow it precisely to the T every, you know, day in, day out, time in, time out, with the understanding that there's going to be successes and failures in trying to, how to understand that, how to accept and understand that there will be successes and failures despite your endeavor, you know. But then I guess the doubt is that if I fail, if I don't exactly execute this to the T, exactly, you know, super, you know, pukka, then there's going to be a reaction that's going to go to my spiritual master, and I don't want, you know, and that's not good.
The Krishna knows your heart. So if one takes sincerely and one makes a very sincere effort to do it, Krishna sees that. So the failures is just part of the arrangement. Because failures are probably the greatest tools to help us, you know, progress. Because by failures, you know, you address the things. I mean, if you sincerely take the orders of the spiritual masters and then you work, then failures will lead you to more refined, you know, and accurate actions. So they're very important. It's just part of the process. That's you know, a more mature understanding of how to proceed in the spiritual life, or as a matter of fact, any endeavor, is that the process is it will include that, you know, failures and successes, until you refine it to the point that you had it, you have it. You know, Prabhupada's example, the whole book part of the Lilamrita is a lifetime of preparation. Preparation for what? To fulfill the order that he will receive from Srila Bhaktisiddhanta. A lifetime from, what is it, 25 to 60 something? A lot of time. But, you know, he perfected it. And he never stopped. So we can also have that. It means, you know, you take the order and you go through, and you fail, you go through, you keep going and keep going until you refine it. Failures are great. Yeah. All right, thank you. Grantarashiman Bhagavatam ki jai.